Lucy Snow drifts through life like a ghost, observing others while remaining largely unseen herself. In Charlotte Bronte's haunting masterpiece, we meet this enigmatic narrator first as a 14-year-old visiting her godmother's house, where she watches the peculiar attachment form between little Polly Home and 16-year-old Graham Breton. 8 years later, after unnamed tragedies have left her alone in the world, the ship was lost, the crew perished, Lucy decides to leave England entirely. With just £15 to her name, she boards a ship for Labassecour, a fictional kingdom resembling Belgium. Standing alone on foreign shores, Lucy reflects. All my life long, I had been accustomed to steady opposition and resistance. I had not known what it was to have my way smoothed, made easy. This stoicism becomes her defining characteristic, both shield and prison. Unlike conventional Gothic heroines, Lucy's deepest terror isn't external danger, but meaninglessness. The prospect of existing without purpose or connection in a world with little place for a plain, poor, solitary woman. Through coincidences Lucy attributes to Providence, she finds work at Madame Beck's girls' boarding school, a microcosm of hierarchical society driven by surveillance and feminine propriety. Madame Beck embodies this system, methodically searching Lucy's possessions at night. She quietly examined all things. Yet beneath Lucy's conformity lies resistance. When facing rebellion from privileged students, she tears up a ringleader's notebook and locks another troublemaker in a closet, revealing unexpected authority. The school's Gothic layout, a garden haunted by a buried nun's legend, labyrinthine corridors, and hidden spaces, mirrors Lucy's psyche, with parts visible to others and others concealed in darkness. Her position remains liminal. "I was not a servant," she insists, though performing menial tasks, allowing her to observe social dynamics while remaining largely invisible. Lucy recognizes the school's handsome English physician as Graham Breton from her childhood, but conceals her identity, preferring to observe him unnoticed. Dr. John embodies conventional masculine attractiveness, yet Lucy perceives his limitations as he pursues the beautiful but shallow Ginevra Fanshawe. When circumstances reconnect Lucy with the Breton household, she experiences brief belonging and allows herself to hope for connection with Graham. Bronte subverts romantic conventions when Graham transfers his affections to Paulina, now a wealthy countess, instead of creating a typical love triangle. At a concert, while Graham admires beautiful women, Lucy sits observing, barely noticed. When he remarks she looks a little pale, she responds with characteristic restraint, "I always look pale, and you know it." Eventually, Lucy buries Graham's letters under a pear tree, symbolically renouncing romantic fantasy. "Good night, Dr. John. You are good, you are beautiful, but you are not mine." Throughout Lucy's time at the pensionat, she encounters what appears to be a ghost of a nun, supposedly buried alive centuries ago. These apparitions coincide with emotional crises, after her painful realization about Dr. John and during her growing attraction to M. Paul Emanuel. The nun embodies the novel's Gothic elements, which Bronte uses to explore psychological states rather than merely create atmosphere. When Dr. John suggests spectral illusion, resulting from long-continued mental conflict, Lucy maintains an ambiguous stance, neither fully accepting nor rejecting this diagnosis. Haven't we all felt haunted by spectral versions of ourselves, the selves we've buried, the paths not taken? The eventual revelation that the ghost was actually a man in disguise, using the costume to visit Ginevra, represents Bronte's subversion of Gothic conventions. By providing a rational explanation, she shifts focus from external mysteries to internal ones. The true hauntings are not ghostly apparitions, but the persistent questions of identity and belonging that torment Lucy throughout her journey. The novel's most fascinating relationship develops between Lucy and M. Paul Emanuel, the temperamental literature professor. Initially antagonistic, Lucy describes him as a dark little man with hair and eyes black as midnight, with harsh, dictatorial behavior. Yet beneath this exterior, he genuinely values her intellect and potential. Unlike Dr. John, M. Paul truly sees Lucy. He lends her books, censoring inappropriate passages, challenges her thinking, and nurtures her abilities as their relationship evolves through revealing quarrels and reconciliations. Their connection represents Bronte's radical reimagining of romantic conventions. M. Paul values Lucy for the very qualities that make her invisible to others, her intelligence, independence, and moral strength. Their relationship culminates when he gives Lucy her own small school, recognizing her deepest desire for professional autonomy rather than mere romantic fulfillment. In this beginning of a career, Lucy reflects, I wanted sustained courage, endurance, fortitude. His understanding of this need demonstrates his profound connection to her authentic self. After establishing Lucy in her school, M. Paul departs for the West Indies to manage a family plantation, promising to return in 3 years. When a terrible storm sweeps the Atlantic near his expected return, Lucy describes the tempest but never explicitly states his fate, only noting that those who oppose their relationship lived long. Despite her father urging a happy ending, Bronte insisted on this uncertainty, writing to her publisher, "The spirit of romance would have indicated another course, but I cannot write otherwise than I have written." Regardless of M. Paul's fate, Lucy achieves her primary goal, independence. Her school flourishes, growing from day to boarding school. "I worked hard," she states, "and my success was proportionate to my efforts." This success represents both financial security and self-actualization. Lucy suggests M. Paul's influence remains transformative even in absence. "His mind was my library, and whenever it was open to me, I entered bliss." This spiritual connection transcends physical presence, suggesting true intimacy exists beyond conventional romantic fulfillment. Through Lucy Snow's first-person narrative, we experience the tension between social invisibility and rich interior life that characterized Victorian women's existence. Lucy deliberately withholds information, forcing readers to engage with her on her terms, challenging women's objectification in 19th-century fiction. During isolation, she describes feeling like a wild creature newly captured, viewing with a mixture of fire and fear the first entrance of the breaker in, a vivid metaphor for a woman whose authentic self must be broken to fit social expectations. Lucy struggles in a world offering limited options for women without family or fortune. As an English woman abroad, she experiences both privilege and marginalization, revealing how identity is shaped by intersecting factors. The novel's revolutionary quality lies in its refusal to provide conventional resolution. Lucy achieves neither perfect happiness nor tragic destruction, but something more realistic: meaningful work, emotional growth, and independence. Villette remains relevant in a world still struggling to value women's interior lives and professional ambitions equally with their romantic fulfillment. Lucy's journey shows that a life's true measure lies in facing oneself honestly and creating meaning from isolation and loss. Her story challenges us to recognize the complexity of those who move quietly through the world and to understand that independence can be its own triumph.